It is a terrifying thing to speak on behalf of the Lord, to speak in his name, particularly on such a Sunday, the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Father Thomas Hopko of blessed memory used to say that the most frightening text in Scripture, especially for those in the priesthood, are the Lord's words in the Sermon on the Mount, also in Matthew's Gospel. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many wonderful works in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity, you workers of lawlessness." Next to these words, I would set our gospel text that we just heard before us. In many ways, it's a straightforward text. It doesn't need much explanation. The Lord doesn't mince words. The Lord also reminds us that despite what we often say in the Orthodox Church, that salvation is primarily about healing, which remains true, that salvific healing, nevertheless, requires a judgment, that we be judged for what we do in this life. We all have to stand before the Lord as he sits on the throne of his glory upon the cherubim, surrounded by all the angelic hosts and powers, and give an account for our life. To use the words of St. Paul to the Romans, on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And that gospel this morning forces us to ask ourselves afresh, where will we find ourselves? On the side of the sheep or on the side of the goats? On the side of those who remember the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the prisoner, and help them, or not? In various ways, the hymnography we hear pertaining to the Sunday assures us that all excuses or personal zeal or how others prevented us from following the Lord's commandment, any excuse, any help, anything, will not help us then, when it's just us and the Lord on that day. Of course, until that day, in this life, there's a tendency in us to push back on the Lord's words, to justify ourselves against what we don't do. That has been the theme of these previous Sundays. Think of the religious people flabbergasted that Jesus goes into the house, the home of Zacchaeus, a sinner. Think of the Pharisee in the temple looking at that same sinner and tax collector. Thank God, at least I'm not like him. Think of the elder brother, unable to rejoice at the return of his sinful brother. "I have slaved for you here, and you've never given me such a party. Why should he get one?" We give in to our thoughts, what arises from our heart. We might be afraid to say it out loud, but it's latent. Didn't they do it to themselves? The poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the so-called marginalized on the fringes of society, the sick and now languishing and tired, those who have gotten themselves into prison. That's the idea here in ancient Near Eastern and Greco-Roman society, which has never left but remains alive well in our day and age and in our own thinking. If they've already squandered their lives, will they responsibly use the help that we give them, the time that we offer them? But the Lord corrects us here. Notice what he calls these kinds of people. He refers to them as his brothers. Brethren is what we hear in our translation, which slightly obscures how this Sunday flows out of last Sunday. Brothers here is better, because it puts us right back into the Sunday of the prodigal son, the two brothers. Today, Christ puts himself in the position of the elder brother, asking us if we can put ourselves in the position of the prodigal's father. How does God receive the prodigal son, the one who squanders and ruins his life? When we look at our own problems rightly, our own sin, our own predicament, how we respond to such things, who are we to judge anyone besides ourselves? What justification can I bring into the presence of Christ when he sits among his angels? Even here, even now, where the divine liturgy is indeed a judgment service, as it were, what can I say and offer except, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? In my misery, I am first, as the hymnography puts it. I have sinned. I have failed. You know all my secrets. Have mercy on me. Who am I that anyone would ask me for any help, any food, any visitation, any solace or consolation? But now, despite myself, because of the mercy you have opened up to me, O Christ, how can I not take my life, what I have in my life, my gifts, my resources, my talent, whatever, and give it away like Zacchaeus, for my own healing, freedom from these things, and salvation? Today, salvation has come even to this house, for he too is a child of Abraham. Saint Maria Skoptsova of Paris, who herself lived a prodigal life, embracing the atheism of the Bolshevik Revolution and ran among its intelligentsia before she became a nun, who would provide a haven for the destitute, the poor, and the refugee. In particular, she would shelter and hide Jews during the Second World War, until she was finally caught and taken herself, and as multiple survivors testified about her, gave her own life for a Jewish woman in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Saint Maria interpreted this Sunday's gospel text as a revelation from Christ that he is truly and mystically present in every suffering person, that these brothers he speaks of are the very place of divine encounter with Christ himself. Not unlike how St. John Chrysostom, whose liturgy we are currently celebrating, puts it, if you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. St. Maria reflects on this Sunday, at the last judgment, I will not be asked whether I was successful in my ascetic exercises, nor how many bows and prostrations I made. Can add all sorts of things here. Things that we are particularly proud of, perhaps. Instead, I will be asked, did I feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners? That's all I will be asked. Something to think about as we're about to enter Lent. The Lord asks us to feed, to give drink, to clothe, to welcome, to visit. Notice that he doesn't actually ask us for that much. St. Augustine points this out. Quote, the Lord doesn't say, I was sick or I was in prison and you delivered me. No, but you visited me. He isn't asking for great things, but for kindness, end quote. He asks for decency, for us to notice the needs of others, which can only spring forth from our love for him, which is just another form of the question he will ask us on the day of judgment. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? The Sunday of the Last Judgment is intense. It's Old Testamental in a way that we might not always be ready for. It makes me recall the words of Habakkuk, the prophet, who has a vision of the Day of Judgment, a vision of the Lord in his holy temple, shining bright with light and power, looking upon all the nations as he shakes mountains and turns over hills, as he makes rivers to rise, seas to part, the depths to open, as he splits the earth and turns the entire world upside down. As the Lord calls the nations to account, and all flesh keeps silence, as the priests will utter at the cherubic hymn on Holy Saturday as Christ is trampling death. Habakkuk utters these simple words as if he is the tax collector who walks into the temple. In wrath, remember mercy. Or, in judgment, Lord, remember mercy. In judgment, remember mercy. As we prayed yesterday on Memorial Saturday to prepare the departed and us too for the last judgment, we put these, the prayers put these things together. For thou art a good God and lovest mankind. For there is no man who lives and yet does not sin, for thou only art without sin. That is, we are sinners, but you, Lord, please be merciful in overlooking our failures. In judgment of ourselves, we should pray, Lord, you are holy, and I am not worthy of you. I have no righteousness, no excuses, nothing to bring to the table. I myself am poor, hungry, and thirsty. I myself am a stranger and feel out of place. I myself am sick and imprisoned to sin and death and myself. I myself am naked and exposed and have no secrets to hide before you. But you are compassionate and you love mankind. How can I not have mercy and help others? Have mercy on me, a sinner. In judgment, remember mercy. And Lord, let me remember mercy too. Truly, we have to feel the weight of this Sunday. But this Sunday is also a grace. It's an announcement, a foghorn that cuts through and pierces through all other noise. That judgment has already started. The day of salvation is at hand. Today, we come to the end of the world. Today, we all stand before Christ as he judges us. Today, we have no excuse not to listen. Today, we judge ourselves. How can we hear the Lord's words today and not change? In what ways can we repent? In what ways have we not seen Christ standing right in front of us in the very people he sets before us? As we prepare for Lent, brothers and sisters, think on these things. Pray about them. Bring them to confession. And with Christ's help, use Lent to discern him more clearly and to become more Christ-like, more God-like, and even more human. Amen.